Thanks for staying with us. I want to remind everybody that we are doing an event September 8th. We're having a Sunday brunch lecture, and attorney from Tacoma, Washington, Eric Bauer, is coming in to tell us about taking on the sex trafficking empire Backpage and the FBI eventual takedown of the same website. If you're interested in joining us, tickets can be purchased on lawmatters1030.org. That's our website. We're looking for board members. If anybody's interested in being on the board, send an email to lawmatters1030@gmail.com. And I have a studio full of people. We have here, we have Jonathan Mosher.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Tell us what your title is.
It is Chief Criminal Deputy with the Pima County Attorney's Office.
And you're also a board member.
I am a board member of the Humane Society of Southern Arizona.
Very cool. And we have Tom and Linda Grissom.
Good morning. We're so pleased to be here.
I'm pleased to have you. You've got an interesting story to tell, and we're going to be telling that in a minute. And we have Diane Cannon and Christian Gonzalez from the Humane Society of Southern Arizona.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for being here. Okay. Before we talk about the program we're going to be talking about, I want to talk about all the wonderful things that the Pima County is doing to help people who are in jail better themselves and maybe not return to jail. So I'm going to let you talk about some of the programs.
Thanks, Sherry. We're really excited about efforts to be successful with rehabilitation in Pima County at the Pima County Attorney's Office. And so what we're going to be talking about this morning, the New Beginnings program at the Humane Society, is it really a great example of that effort. It's not a Pima County program, but we certainly are excited about it. It's not an attorney's office program. But what we are doing, before we get to the specifics of New Beginnings, let me just introduce the problem we're confronting. And that is that you and I've been on the show before, and we've talked a lot about violent and sexual offenders and the need to protect our community. And at the Pima County Attorney's Office, that is our first foremost priority. If there are offenders who are dangerous and threaten community safety, we will prosecute them to the full extent of the law and ensure community safety. However, there's another side to this story, and it's not being told, and that's why we're here this morning. And the other side of the story is that there are people who get charged with crimes, let's say personal possession of a small amount of drugs. And if they do not present a threat to others or to the community, the Pima County Attorney's Office is highly motivated to provide, however we can, treatment instead of incarceration, which is expensive and sadly ineffective. What we don't want to do is spend taxpayer money locking somebody up only to have them get out and be worse off. That assists no one, and certainly not the person who's locked up. So we're excited about several things going on in this regard. And there's kind of a false narrative out there. The false narrative is prosecutors just take out a big old heavy hammer and they just knock everyone they can with it and send them all to prison. And it's just not true. And so let me just mention a few things that are going on in our community. And police get tied up in that same negative story. It's false. For example, Tucson Police Department Chief Chris Magnus is progressive, forward-thinking, and he envisioned a program called Deflection. And what that program is if you are arrested in Tucson, or if a police officer encounters a person, a citizen, who is suffering from chronic substance abuse disorder, the police officer can take them, instead of to jail, they can take them to treatment facilities. And so literally people are being taken to Kodak or Community Bridges and getting treatment instead of getting locked up in jail, which is expensive and counterproductive for these individuals. So that Deflection program, the Pima County Attorney's Office supports, we're hoping it grows. TPD created it. It's a wonderful program. Then what we've got is, even if someone is arrested and they're not deflected, if they're taken into kind of the charging scenario, in other words, the case is brought to my office, then we have the ability to put them in what's called diversion. And in diversion, we can ask that the individual complete treatment programs, and if they do, they simply won't get a criminal charge. So we do that on cases involving, for example, personal possession of drugs, where we perceive the issue to be one of treatment, not incarceration. And then finally, we have literally gone out, and I'm talking, when I say we, I mean prosecutors.
Right.
Not defense lawyers. We prosecutors have gone out and secured millions of dollars of grant funding in Pima County to run programs like our Drug Treatment Alternative to Prison program, where somebody who otherwise would be mandatorily subject, these are the laws of the state, this person would have to go to prison. And instead, what we have is an alternative that allows them to get treatment. And when I say treatment, I don't just mean addiction counseling and treatment. I mean, we, for example, will remove tattoos. We will provide job interview coaching. We will do everything we can to make it so that this person doesn't come back and be a burden on the criminal justice system. This program is cheaper than incarceration. It saves money, and it's far more effective than incarceration. So what I worry about is a dialogue in the community that treats criminal justice like a binary, an on or an off. If you commit a crime, you're a terrible person, you should go to prison and be locked up. And, you know, prison is the only modality we have. And it's just, it's not true. That's not an accurate dialogue. There are people who need to be locked up, and we are plenty focused on doing that. But there are other people who need different treatment, you know, and often we're talking about low-level drug offenders, and we have those programs in Pima County, and we're interested in developing them. So that's kind of the background of what we're here to talk about today.
I know it works, because I've received an email from a mom who said, I want to thank you for helping me save my son's life with those programs.
Lives are at stake. I myself am 18 years sober. Being sober is the key to everything I have in my life. And I understand those who are suffering from addiction, and personally, I'm highly motivated, and I find it rewarding to work in a profession where that is an emphasis. So I just can't stand this false dialogue that prosecutors are not interested in treatment for, you know, drug offenders who are not harming anybody else. Now, it's a different issue if you're crawling in through windows and breaking into houses
and robbing people.
To secure the safety of this community, and first and foremost, we are charged with that. So we're not going to gamble with people's safety. But when it is just an issue of treatment, we got to get smarter about what we're doing.
Absolutely, that's awesome. Which brings us to Tom and Linda. You were in California on a vacation. Tell me your story. Tell me what you were doing.
Well, actually, how it started was, as most dog lovers, and Tom and I are tremendous dog lovers and very passionate about the Humane Society, a friend of mine from California sent me a YouTube video link, and it was about a program called Karma Rescue. The actual program is called Paws for Life, and it was a program where dogs are trained by inmates. The Karma Rescue would go to local shelters in the LA area and select dogs who were basically unadoptable or just about ready to be put down. And they would bring those dogs to the prison, and they would have a trainer that would train the inmates to then, in fact, train the dogs to become adoptable. And the video was so compelling. They had inmates, the inmates that trained the dogs, testimonials. They showed the dogs. I can't tell you... As I watched this, I kept thinking, we have to do this in Tucson. And I showed it to my husband, Tom, and he totally agreed. So we contacted the executive director of the program. The program's been was founded in 2003. Been an ongoing program, and it's been very successful. And we contacted her and to get a little bit more information about the program, and she invited us to one of their graduations. They have a graduation about every 10 weeks, because that's about how long it takes to train a dog to be more adoptable. And so we drove to Lancaster, California. It's a maximum security prison. About 5,000 inmates reside there. And she arranged for us to give all the credentials to get into the prison. And we got to interact with all the inmates that we saw on the video, plus more. And I got to tell you that it was kind of a life-changing experience for us. We, as Jonathan talked about inmates, you know, they're not all as you would perceive them to be. It changed our whole perception of what they're like. And they were so passionate about the program, and it did. Many of them said it did change their lives, because many of them, in fact, I think most of them that we talked to were lifers. They had nothing else to live for, and so these dogs became just so critically important to them. So after we came back from that experience, which was just tremendous, I contacted Diana Cannon, who was instrumental in bringing together. I told her about it. I sent both she and Christian the link. They viewed it, and so they pulled together their leadership team, and Tom and I met with them. And after that meeting, I mean, I was shocked. I thought we'd have to go on and on. They agreed to work with us with this program, to start the program. And it's been ongoing for, about a year now, I think. And we are just extremely, extremely pleased with it. Our goal is, right now it's just on the grounds of the Humane Society, but our goal is to be on the grounds of also the prison grounds, so the dogs can be taken home with the inmates, and we can have two sites to involve more inmates and more dogs. And it would be, I think it's a win-win for everybody, including certainly the community. When these inmates get out, they have a viable skill.
And that video you're talking about will be on our website, so people can see it later on today.
The actual video that we first saw is on YouTube. It's out of California. But the video, we also have a video for New Beginnings, our New Beginnings program.
Okay. And so which one do I have?
You have the New Beginnings.
I have the New Beginnings,
yes.
One.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to put that on our website so people can see it. And the only thing different about it is right now these dogs in the video are going back to the prison with the, and that's not happening here yet.
That's correct. They stay on the grounds.
Okay, and we're going to have all kinds of information about this program on our website as well. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a few. Thanks for staying with us. We've been talking about a new program at the Humane Society, and it's called New Beginnings, and it's been in place for about a year. And I'm wondering if, Christian, can you tell us how it's been going and how it's working?
Absolutely, yeah. It's been going great. It's you know, I want to start off by just thanking Tom and Linda Grissom for, you know, bringing us such a great idea. You know, we had a huge component of this program already, which is obviously our Department of Corrections, you know, a unit program that we have already. And, you know, we were utilizing the inmates, you know, every day. They're there 7 days a week. We started off the program. We're going on 11 years strong with that program. And
well, you're talking about I've been to Humane Society, in fact, a lot of government buildings, and you'll see inmates, they're doing different tasks. So you're talking about the inmates that actually, like, feed the animals and bathe them, maybe, and clean?
They do a lot of our cleaning, and that was pretty much, in the beginning, that was what we utilized them for. They would come in, and they would help us out as far as helping us clean, getting us open before before the public came. And, you know, yeah, at any given time, if you come visit us, you'll see, you know, the men in orange, you know, and they're hard at work all the time, and these guys are always hard at work, and really great people. They've helped us out so much. And, you know, we've had, like I said, we're going on 11 years strong with that program. And, you know, with Tom and Linda brought us this great idea. It gave us an opportunity to be able to utilize them in a different way than we have been utilizing them before. And that was, you know, we had the opportunity to be able to rehabilitate some of the dogs that wouldn't necessarily really were adoptable, if you will. You know, they were shy. They didn't really have that much trust in people. They just needed a little bit of that extra, you know, human contact and
reassurance,
bond.
Sure.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, we thought it was amazing, and we started off the program with a kind of a pilot program just to see how it was going to work out. And, you know, out came the New Beginnings Canine Program. I mean, it's so amazing, and these guys work so hard in rehabilitating these dogs. And at the same time, not only are we rehabilitating the dogs that are there, we're rehabilitating them as well. I mean, you see them in the beginning when they first, you know, some of these guys, when they first get hired on to come on to the crew, they're very quiet, very shy, timid. They don't really want to interact with anybody. And somehow the canines and bring that out of them. And before you know it, these guys are just doing their job, smile on their face, and you can tell that they love doing what they do.
How do you qualify somebody to train a dog?
Well, the qualifications start over at the Catalina at the Catalina unit. They start off there, and they go ahead and interview the guys to see if you know, because obviously one of the things that you want is you want people who, you know, inmates who love, you know, who love animals, and they want to be around them, and you know, they got to know what they're getting themselves into first. So they start the interview process, and once we get them, we are able to sit down with them after they've been there. We have them be there at least a little bit over 30 days before we even consider them for anything else besides what they're doing. And we do an interview process ourselves just to see what they're, how comfortable they are, you know, with how comfortable they are with dogs, you know, obviously.
The reason they're in jail, does that have an effect on whether they are considered for this position?
Yes. Well, in fact, one of the things that through the Department of Corrections is that there is they need to have a GED. You know, and they work at it. You know, they actually are able to my knowledge, and you know, they're able to get their GED, you know, there, and so they definitely have some education, you know, before coming out and helping us. So
the education that they're getting, is this online education, or do people, teachers actually go, do you know?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
No, I'm not sure, but I do know that they definitely need to have a history of good behavior.
Okay.
You know, and there are some, you know, there, and the guys that we get, you know, they've never, the crimes that they've committed are not severe crimes. So there are.
So you
some,
don't have an axe murderer in the.
We do not. No.
Okay.
No,
I just,
no,
you know, no, I want to clear that up.
We definitely know, and you know, and the New Beginnings, you know, canine program was just kind of one of the programs that was created with having these guys here. We now have a maintenance team as well, who actually helps out with the facilities there. They do a tremendous job in building, and it has been able, as a nonprofit organization, you know, we need to be very fiscally responsible with our donor dollars.
Yes.
And these guys have actually stepped up, and you know, they built fences for us, and they've built sheds, and they've done all these things, and they are so skilled.
They've got skills.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you, think,
those,
you
and
don't
those
think
skills,
that when you see a guy in an orange outfit, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, and these skills, when they come out, I mean, they're able to utilize that, and they're able to put that on a resume, and it is, like I said, it's not just rehabilitating the animals, it's rehabilitating, you know, people, because they are people and they should be treated as such.
And exactly. Can I dive in on that, Sherry?
Sure.
Because when I found out about this program, being on the board of the Humane Society, I found out Tom and Linda Grissom did this thing where they saw something happening at a prison in California with inmates training dogs, and they brought it to Tucson, funded it, made it happen, and it's happening at the Humane Society. I was like, I gotta go see this thing. And I had been to the Humane Society and seen inmates, you know, they're in orange, they're, you know, obviously inmates from prison, and they're working at the Humane Society. And I had seen those individuals cleaning out the kennels and helping. And that's a win-win too, by the way, because they
sure.
get out of the pretty oppressive prison setting. They get to come to the Humane Society. They get to be around dogs. It's good for the dogs. They get to have people around them, and it's a low cost source of labor for the Humane Society. So it's good all around. But New Beginnings is a whole other thing. And I just wanted to describe, when I went and visited the training yard, just so people listening on the radio have an image of it, because this is what Tama and Linda have built. Tom and Linda Grissom have funded this. It's like if you were to go watch a dog agility competition, and you would see all of these little, I don't know if they're called barriers or what they are. They're
obstacles?
These little tricks and tools. Yeah, obstacles. And the inmates are, if you go to the yard, it's beautiful. It's fenced in. It's, I feel like it's, I don't know, 50 yards wide. And it, you know, it's a spacious place. And there are these dogs and inmates working on these obstacles. And so I went and saw that, and just the facility itself is impressive.
Now, did the inmates build the facility?
Yes. So then I'm there, and you know, the inmates who are working with the dogs come up and are asked to kind of explain a little bit about the program to me. And one of these inmates is literally saying, "Yeah, what I've been doing is teaching this dog patience and teaching this dog how to be less aggressive." And it just, a light bulb went off in my head, which was, isn't that exactly what we want the inmate to know as well? So
teach each other.
Undeniable that good things are happening as a result of Tom and Linda's work. And also, if you're out and you see the training yard at the Humane Society, you'll also walk by the shuttle that Tom and Linda have funded. And I was wondering if Christian or Linda could talk about that.
Let's
Tom? Let Tom talk.
Well, we saw through Christian the need for the transportation component to be in place, because the DOC, with all of its missions and activity, sometimes would have a difficult time bringing a full crew. So we thought it appropriate that there be a shuttle available where they could transport the 18 to 19 inmates each day from the facility to our campus and back at night when they finished their work. And Christian and I found an available shuttle in Texas. Christian negotiated the price, we funded it, and it's on campus right now. So from that standpoint, we are hoping over a period of time to use that shuttle to transport not only the inmates back to the facility, but the dogs that might accompany them so they could go to the prison grounds, as Linda has described it.
Do they get the same dog every time they show up? It's their dog, or are the dogs rotated so they learn from different trainers? How does that work?
Yeah, the dogs are rotated so that they can, you know, they can work with as many dogs as they can at any given time. We don't overload them. You know, we're fortunate enough that, you know, at any given time we can have about 10 behavioral cases. So we have, at most, we can have four New Beginnings canine inmates that work with them. So every single day they'll work with about four or five of them, and they'll work with them because they do want to spend a little bit of time with them. You know, you can't just spend 10, 15 minutes. So they'll actually take the time and work with them. And then the next day, okay, well, we have these guys. Okay, so they go in there and they take them out and take them out to the yard, and everything is done in such a just a great, you know, gentle and patient process. And that's one of the things that even in speaking with our DOC, you know, inmates, that they have said that they have learned so much patience, you know, and doing
I've,
this
I've
program.
Trained dogs. I know it takes patience.
Yeah, but it's made them patient with people as well. So, you know, it's really helped them a lot.
So they don't just get a dog for that day. They get several dogs over the course of the day.
They do, yeah. Yeah.
And are these dogs particular dogs assigned to that particular inmate, or do they rotate through the different inmates?
They do. I mean, they get, and for the most part, they're the same inmate will work with them. Yes,
dog.
Yes. Unless he's not there, then, you know, there's, before they come in, there's actually, you know, Bailey lays out like an agenda for them and
we're not
what
talking
they need to
about
do.
Bailey the dog at the jail. We're
no,
talking
no, no,
about
no.
Bailey, a human being.
Yeah, Bailey Heater. She's okay. our canine specialist. She's a supervisor over at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. She's the one that is working with the inmates every single day.
Okay, because I had Bailey on the show a couple weeks back.
I'd just like to say one additional thing. I also volunteer to walk dogs at the Humane Society, so I see the inmates interacting with the dogs whenever I'm out there, and it's just very compelling to watch the connection they have and over time how it develops. The inmates know all the dogs by name. I can ask them anything about a dog, and they know much more than I would. And so you can see it's really making a difference in both the dog's perception. And I've seen dogs that have been very shy initially just grow with the interaction with the inmates and the love that they're providing. So it's really a win-win for both of them.
What's the address of the Humane Society?
It's 635 West Roger Road. So we're just west of Oracle and Roger.
Okay. Didn't you used to be on Kleiner.
We used to be on Kelvin.
Kelvin.
We spent
Kelvin
75 years there, but then we moved. We built a brand new, beautiful, effective facility.
I didn't get the notice that you were moving, and I went over there to check out the animals, and I'm like, oh my God, they're gone.
Yes.
They're all gone.
We've been in our new home. It was a year in May.
Very cool. Very cool. And a new training ground. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a few. Thanks for staying with us. Our guests today in the studio, we have Jonathan Mosher, we have Tom and Linda Grissom, we have Diana Cannon, Christian Gonzalez. I'm here, the other Jonathan's in the booth. Jonathan, when we went to break, you were talking about the dogs and the violent crimes, and tell us what's on your mind.
Well, thanks, Sherry. Linda had been talking about some of the benefits of the program and the changes they've seen in inmates, and it brought to mind a couple of different points I wanted to raise just for discussion. And one is the fact that I firmly believe, and this is why I volunteer my time for the Humane Society, is I firmly believe we'll be judged as a society in how we treat not only other people but animals. And, you know, mistreatment of animals, sadly, it does tend to be tied up with some violent behavioral tendencies we see towards people. It's a risk for domestic violence. It's a risk for violent activity generally. And, you know, the Humane Society, right there in the title, is dedicated to, you know, what we call humane treatment of animals. And I wanted to bring that up and acknowledge the connection between violent behavior towards animals and people. But as part of that discussion, it ties into something else, and that is that we as a society have allowed our prisons to be breeding grounds of violence and sexual assault. And I have dedicated my career to fighting violence and sexual assault, and I find it reprehensible that we as a society would accept that conduct in a prison. We don't as prosecutors. I want you to know, sometimes I hear people say, well, that person should be sent to prison where they'll be raped or hurt. And, you know, no, we will prosecute the people who rape or hurt anybody, anywhere. And we should create humane prison environments. And the reason I think that's important is Linda and Tom, I think to do justice to their vision, they didn't just seek to build a program that operates at the Humane Society as it's currently operating. They would like to see their program taken into prison. And to be fair, I know I can see Linda nodding out of the corner of my eye. I know that she agrees that even somebody who is spending life in prison still deserves humane treatment. And I think that raises a larger question, which is, what do we want our prisons to be? And I believe strongly that it's totally unacceptable to have the answer to that question be that they are breeding grounds of violence and sexual assault run by the prisoners. It's just not okay. How can we as a society be fighting against racism when we let racism run rampant in our prisons?
So I
think those are broad topics, but I wanted to acknowledge that they're tied to Linda and Tom's efforts and their generosity as well.
Christian?
Well, you know, one of the things that we see, you know, at the prison is we do see a little bit of, you know, sometimes there is a little bit of dissension, you know, among the inmates that we have. And but overall, I believe, and I'm a huge believer in this, is the fact that, you know, just the animals that they're helping, you know, and not just the canines, you know, the cats as well. And, you know, we have numerous pocket pets, you know, there as well.
Numerous what?
Pocket pets, like rabbits and hamsters and guinea pigs.
You put them in your pocket?
You can call them, yeah. You can call them. That's why we call them pocket pets.
Okay.
If you go visit me at any time, you'll know something is about to pop out of my pocket.
Okay, great.
Yeah. It could be a reptile too, but you know, the just like them being, you know, I'll tell you a quick story here. Not too long ago, we had an inmate, and you know, according to some of the other inmates, you know, he just wanted to keep to himself, didn't want to speak with anybody, and just was just kind of, you know, he was just kind of rough, you know, he was rough around the edges, and he just didn't want to be bothered. And one day I'm walking through the kennels, and, you know, I see him in a kennel, and, you know, he's on his knees, and he's petting a dog, and, you know, he lifts up his head, and he's got tears on his face, you know. And I asked him, you know, like, are you okay? And And, you know, and his words to me were, you know, it's been a while since I've been loved by anything. And, you know, this dog has been, you know, giving me love here, you know, for the past 20 minutes. And he's like, I you can tell at that moment. And I was so moved by it. And it was just one of those things that ever since then, it really changed my eyes and how I view them as well. And that's where I started this whole thing, where even when I train my staff to be around the inmates, that always remember that they are human.
Exactly.
We don't know what they've been through. We don't know what they, if you see them and they're a little rough around the edges or they don't want to talk to anybody, give them a little bit of time. Give them a little bit of time. You know, these dogs will bring that out of them. And that's why I mean that not only, you know, it's almost like that human bond is with an animal is so strong. And so not only are they rehabilitating the dog, their dog is rehabilitating them as well.
And you don't know what that person's been through just on a personal level.
Exactly.
And some of them build walls that are, you know, really tall because they're protecting themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's one of the things that me and Jonathan just, we were talking about earlier, is the fact that, you know, you get this stigma when people walk in and, you know, they see a guy in orange and it's like, oh my God, you know, I didn't know you guys had, you know, a prison camp here and I don't feel safe. And so far from that.
I'd just like to add one thing too, that many of the animals that these inmates are working with, they come from very adverse conditions as well.
Yeah.
So they come from conditions of abuse, and we don't know. Maybe the inmates many times have come from environments where they've been in abusive environments.
They can identify with each other.
And that really is the bond, is that they identify with each other and they learn and they grow. And the pride that these inmates come away with once they've had, that they see the success of an animal learning these good behaviors. And they themselves have that. So there's this win-win that they relate to these animals, who most of them have been no love in their lives either.
And to dive in on the win-win side of things, I just want to point out, because I suppose I can't imagine that there's anybody listening who has an objection. But I deal with objections for my work and my career as a trial lawyer.
All right,
I can hear an objection out there. And the objection is, oh my goodness, inmates, they're dangerous, and you guys are somehow playing with fire. And to that, I would say that we are talking about a population of inmates who are going to get out of prison. Under, you know, the laws of Arizona, we're not talking about people who have committed crimes that render them incarcerated for life. And so this person is going to be walking by you and your family on the street. Do you want them better? Do you want them rehabilitated? We all do better as a society when our methods of incarceration are effective. And we're shooting ourselves in the foot when we say, let's just send these people away to a place that just breeds bad behavior.
That doesn't
And isn't
help.
It funny that we're using terms like breeding and bad behavior when we're talking about a program that deals with dogs? It's just such a beautiful program. I would challenge anybody who has an objection to go look at what's going on at the Humane Society, because it's a little miracle.
Yeah. I know a lot of dogs are abused before they get there, or they're abandoned. They don't know how to behave around people. And I've seen cats too. Do you have a cat program?
We don't have a cat program yet, but we're definitely working on it. So
yeah,
it's coming.
So I want to see those cats in that agility training course, you know, running through the tubes and over the... You know, I think that would be awesome.
I always like a good challenge.
Okay, you're on.
Can I say just one other thing on related to Kristen's story about the inmates and the impact the dogs had? When we were in Lancaster, we were interacting with the inmates, and kind of the inmate that was in charge there, he had been instrumental in the program. He was telling us a story with... when the dogs first came, how one of the inmates just broke down in tears. He had not seen a dog or touched a dog in 20 years.
Wow.
And, you know, it just brought home to Tom and I the fact what life is like, how different it is, and what an impact something like this can have on an inmate, and that they have the same emotions and feelings that we have, and so they've been so removed from them.
They're in a very sterile environment.
A very sterile environment. So it's important to make it the environment as good as we possibly can.
As humane.
Because as humane, yes, that's the word, as possible.
Absolutely.
We've heard people comment about giving back, paying forward. Well, we thought, because we've been blessed, that it was an opportunity for us to make an investment in our community. And with this program, our intention is to have, as Jonathan has said, the people coming out of the, and notice I said people, not inmates, people coming out of the program will have acquired behavioral skills and job skills that hopefully will provide them the opportunity to better themselves, you know, assuming they take advantage of the opportunity, but that's a chance we should be taking as a society.
And everything that they're learning translates to the outside world, and it's their job to make that work for them.
And we have hired them. We have hired them after they, you know, get out. We've actually hired four of them who wanted to continue doing this because they found their love and their passion. And we've even had some that have used me as a reference to get a job in other areas, not in Tucson, like in Phoenix or anywhere, you know, across the country, because that's that they found the love, you know, they found their passion, and that's what they wanted to do when they got out.
That's very cool. I want to know who trains them to train the dogs. Who do you use? Is it a professional dog trainer, or is it?
Well, we use Bailey Heater, who is our supervisor for the canines program.
Okay, what training did she have to train these dogs?
She's had a lot of training. She's taken a lot of courses. She's gotten certified.
So she's a professional trainer. She gets it.
Absolutely. 110%. And she has such patience, you know, for her crew guys as well. And she's got that where people, they listen to her, you know, and then she's very straightforward and they appreciate that. They absolutely do. So.
Well, I have an idea. I think we should take our dogs that have been trained through this agility course and have a competition with the Lancaster dogs to see who's better. We're going to take a quick break. Thanks for staying with us. Our guests today are Jonathan Mosher, Tom and Linda Grissom, Diana Cannon, Christian Gonzalez. I'm here. And we were going to talk about this dog you were talking about in break.
We have a special story.
Okay. I want to hear
This dog came into us as a stray, so we had no background knowledge of her. She was unmanageable, if you will. I'd go by her kennel and she'd be cowering in the corner, just shaking. She had no confidence. And then when she'd get in the yard, she couldn't relate to people. She couldn't relate to other animals. She was just almost uncontrollable. And so Bailey identified her as an animal that needed to go through this training. And so she sort of kind of got assigned to one of the inmates who she seemed to relate to fairly well. Her name was Hazelnut. And so she went through the training. She spent about 10 weeks, I think it was, Linda, about 10 weeks with this particular crew member, and she graduated, right? She got adopted, but when she got adopted, we explained to the lady, Bailey had extensive conversation. She needs energy. You know, she's got a lot of energy. She needs to be exercised. So that's one of the things. Well, that didn't happen. So a month later, she came back. So we put her back in the program again just to make sure that those skills that she had learned and the techniques were still there in her memory. And so the same crew member worked with her. So Christian and I contacted one of our good supporters who has taken those animals with those special cases, you know, that need that special attention. And Wendy, Erica, and Don came and looked at her and said, "We'll take her." And Hazel now is called Hazel Bell. Every morning, Don takes her on a bike ride. She gets a 5-mile run with him. She has become our model citizen of this program. In fact, I just saw them last weekend. We had an event with 600 people and about 500 dogs, and Hazel Abel just walked in. She was in good control. She wasn't aggressive or assertive. She listened to Don, and we were over the top with how well she did. And her success is all because of this New Beginnings canine training program.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So we want to do that with a lot more.
Exactly. I want to know which skills are the dogs taught. Sit, stay.
The basic kind of, out, you know, sit, down. Stay, come, down, off, no, the word no. And one of the things that I
and
would
it's
like,
all in English, right?
It's all in, yes, it's all in English.
Okay.
But there's like 7 basic skills. And when we talk about the agility yard, the reason for the agility yard is when the animals come out for their training sessions, they got to get that excess energy out.
They need exercise.
And so one of the ways to do that is to help them run through this agility. And then once they get done, get their exercise, then they're able to really pay attention to the basic training. We had just recently, Tom and Linda helped us with our 75th anniversary and brought in Brandon McMillan, who is a star of Lucky Dog on CBS. And he has had years of training, not only dogs, but also years of training large animals for the entertainment industry. But he also trains people. Yeah. I mean, we need that training. And he came in and he spent, a good 2-3 hours out in the training yard with the training crew, the inmates, working one-on-one with them. And he came back and he said, "Boy, you got my thumbs up on this New Beginnings canine training program." He said, "This is excellent. It's so good for the animals," but he said, "but I see, you know, how connected the trainers are, the crew members are." So
to their dogs.
Yep.
Sure. Absolutely. It makes a lot of sense. And these dogs that normally would not be adoptable become adoptable.
They're truly adoptable and they don't come back.
Yeah.
That was one of our goals, is that let's teach them these good behaviors, because so many times in the past, animals would be returned because I can't keep them from jumping on the kids. They don't know the word no. They don't want to invest, or they don't have the knowledge to train them.
And I think a lot of it is the knowledge to train them, because
exactly.
People, you know, like, in fact, I heard it from your star, a dog will have an accident in the house, and 5 hours later, somebody comes home and yells at him. Well, he doesn't know why you're yelling. You know, that's
right.
Past tense.
Yeah, they're disconnected from it. Yeah.
What's the matter with you? Right. You know, so they become afraid. So it doesn't make sense. Okay, we're deciding who's going to talk next.
So far through the program, I'll just interject that there have been 60 dogs graduated.
60?
60. 60.
Now, are we talking cap and gown or what?
No. They didn't march across the stage and get a diploma, other than we do provide a paper diploma for the adopter.
That's very cool.
It is great. Yeah.
Very cool. And it's so nice to have a dog that, are they house broke?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, because we have our dog runs have an inside outside area,
right?
So it is they do go through something that's kind of like a dog door.
Go
so
outside,
exactly,
then,
and yeah.
Okay.
And when we do our cleanings in the morning, we don't typically see, you know, a lot of waste inside. So
that's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's part of the thing of adopting a dog. You know, oh my God, it's not house broke. It doesn't know how to sit,
and one
stay.
Of the thing, yeah, and one of the things we have is in Bailey's office, she has it set up kind of like a living room or a playroom, where she's got a couch in there and carpet, and, you know, so she's got furniture, and she will take an animal in there and see how they respond. Do they automatically jump on the furniture? Well, then you teach them, no, you can't get on the furniture. So we do take those extra steps for those kinds of things in answer to your question.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's very cool. It makes them more adoptable. Jonathan.
Well, I was just thinking, Sherry, it's Saturday morning at 8:55, and we've talked about these good works going on in the community, and it invigorates me. So I want to point out, Tom and Linda Grissom find a program in a California prison, bring it to Tucson, apply it here, and they're looking to grow the program, and it's changing dog lives and it's changing human lives. And, you know, they were in a position financially to do that, but you know, to anyone listening, what have you done to make your community better today?
Yes.
And in this time where everybody's squared off on Facebook or who knows what, you know, yelling about the other side and who, how you disagree with people on this and that, there's so much divisiveness in society. Hey, how about doing a good work? And this conversation made me think, and maybe it's a subsequent show, but it made me think of the other board that I'm on, the Boys and Girls Club. The Boys and Girls Clubs provide facilities, and they're funded by donors like Tom and Linda, who are just motivated to have us have a better community, and they provide places for kids in rough neighborhoods to go and learn and be safe. And so there are things like this. I'm just mentioning two. We talked about New Beginnings this morning, but there's things like this happening all over Tucson. It is a place of great commitment to improving lives through nonprofits. And hey, if you're listening to this, get involved in something you believe in. It doesn't have to be the Humane Society. Maybe it will be. But, you know, it just, it makes me think good thoughts for a Saturday morning.
Pay it forward. And that's what your intention was, to pay it forward.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so rewarding to the giver as well as those that are given. It works both ways. It's a wonderful experience.
That's how I feel about doing this show every Saturday morning. It's my favorite day of the week. Get up and do the show and let people know the good things that are happening with our law enforcement, with our prosecutor's office. And this is an amazing program. I'm just really honored that you brought it here.
One of the things I oftentimes say is nobody gets through unscathed. But if we can make the path for people a better process, I think it serves us all in the long term. And that's one of the reasons we're involved.
That's very cool. Now, do you go out there and train dogs?
No, I walk them.
You just walk them.
Well, I have training techniques. So as if they're a puller, I know how to deal with that so they don't pull so much on the leash. And so that helps them become more adoptable through the meet and greet process when somebody comes in to adopt them.
Could you tell me that technique, please? Do we have enough time?
train Jonathan. I had a dog in Chicago. I used to babysit the St. Bernard, and what I didn't know was the dog was trained, but I didn't know that the word okay meant he could do what he wanted to do. And he dragged me into the lagoon in Chicago in Lincoln Park. So the dog and I were like neck deep in muck. And it was one of those things. Do you use that word okay, that the dog can do what they want to do?
No, we for the most
you
part,
don't?
I mean, yeah, that's not one of our
concerns. Because I don't want to go over there and visit a dog and have him yank me, you know, into the lagoon. Okay, I want to thank everybody for being here this morning and remind everybody that we are doing a fundraiser. If you go to lawmatters1030.org, you can get your tickets there. It's going to be a great event. Eric Bauer is going to be coming on and telling us what happened with his legal case on the sex trafficking empire back page and the FBI takedown that followed. And what else do I have to tell you? I don't know who's on next week. I forgot to look, but I'm sure it'll be exciting. Until then, shop local, stay safe. See you, bye.